It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
Start on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
His house, the three and the lead, you betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner,
P.J. Tucker.
Gordon by Goldridge.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. You can go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get $10 off of your first order. Now, as always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can catch me on Twitter at JT Gatlin. And of course, our show is also on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And by now, you guys should know the drill. If you appreciate what we do here at Locked On Rockets, do me a favor. Go hit that subscribe button on iTunes or Spotify. Drop us a review. Leave us some stars. And above all else, share the podcast on all your social media platforms. I would sincerely appreciate it. Now, for today's show, I will actually be joined by Natalie Alvarado, the entertainment director for your Houston Rockets. So without further ado, let's just go ahead and get to Natalie. How's it going today, Natalie?
It's going great. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. I'm really excited to get you on here and, you know, really get the listeners kind of a behind the scenes on exactly what goes on, you know, at these Rockets games. But first, I want to know a little bit more about you. So if you can kind of share with us and enlighten us kind of some of your background, how and when you decided you wanted to be a professional entertainer and, you know, really how you found your way to the Rockets organization.
Absolutely. I'll try and put a very long story into somewhat of a nutshell as much as I can. But, you know, growing up, obviously, just I'd like to say, as any dancer or entertainer says, I came out of the womb just wanting to dance and entertain. And so the dance for me started really young, from writing poetry, turning it into songs, and then not being shy at family gatherings, always moving furniture to perform the dances that I choreographed, you know, as a 6 or 7 year old. So growing up, for me, it all came pretty naturally and something I fell in love with at a young age. My mother actually is the one who notified me about the Houston Rockets Power Dancers auditions. At the time, I was currently at college as the Kilgore College Rangerette, and I missed the audition process the audition date for the Houston Rockets. And so I went ahead and auditioned for we used to have an arena football team called the Houston Thunder Bears, and they were coached. That dance team was coached by the same dance coach that coached the Rockets Power Dancers.
Okay.
So I did 1 year with that team to kind of prep and prepare for Power Dancers. I auditioned that next season and made it. I then danced for the Houston Rockets for 7 seasons. And then my next goal was music, because that had always been in the back of my creative repertoire as well. And so I ended up living the dream, signed a music deal and did the whole music entertainment thing while still choreographing for some NBA teams or different artists within the Houston area, like music artists. And so I, the NBA life kept calling me and kind of followed me. And when the music slowed down, Rockets was one of the teams that I started talking to again with interest in me coming back to be their dance coach. And now here I am, 8 seasons back with the Houston Rockets as director of entertainment.
And so what is it like to have, you started as a member of RPD and now being back in this role of coach and choreographer, you know, thinking back on kind of the growth that took place to kind of get you to that point, is it kind of a wild journey to look back on?
Absolutely. Like you think, you know, when you're a team member on a team, in no way at all are you thinking one day I'm going to coach this squad. You just kind of, I'm a person who really believes, you know, like mistakes are going to help you grow. And I think even now, like just being a coach and mentoring and building this program with my girls, with my team, there's a lot of things that I went through as a team member that either I liked or didn't like, you know, or maybe my coach had a different style, definitely a different coaching style than I do. So you do go through those kind of growing pains, right? But I also believe that you're kind of called to just do what you're meant to do. So when this coaching position came my way, I literally thought of, wow, like I get to build the next step, you know. There's a lot of my girls, they're career driven. They all have, you know, they're already in school or they already have their careers and they have their lives kind of mapped out. But a lot of them also want to be the next singer or a backup dancer. And so I think it's great for me to be in there in front of their face saying like, hey, I did that. I achieved it. And you can too. I think when you're a team member on the team, like I was though, you just have to kind of take every experience, right? From being a rookie to being a veteran, to being a team captain, to choreographing routines. I felt like all of that was meant to be, you know, for me during that time. So that way one day I could be a coach. So it definitely, you know, it has its challenges and things, but I feel like I'm pretty good at it.
Hey, you know, from everything that we can see, you know, at Rockets games and whatnot, I think everybody would be in agreement. You are pretty good at it. Now, speaking of these games, you know, can you maybe walk me through some of the behind the scenes and say like what your job looks like on a game day?
Absolutely. So, you know, not only managing all of the live entertainment at a game, and that's the easy way I kind of tell everyone is my job, I oversee everything live at a game with the exception of the actual basketball, right? So from our mascot to our DJs to our in-arena host and all of the performance groups that perform. On top of that, you know, every now and then I'll occasionally book some national anthems or some halftime acts. And I also help our director of programming write out our scripts. So he and his staff mainly put the script for our game together, but I'll go in and double check music and suggest, you know, some timeout ideas. And always when it comes to the entertainment or the mascot, I definitely have, you know, the leeway to kind of script those things out for it to make sense in our game. So on a game day, we'll have that script ready and prepared. And maybe around 2 o'clock or 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock on a game day for a 7 o'clock tip, our game is already set in the hopes that there are no changes before game time.
There's always going to be last minute changes. And in almost any industry with entertainment or like customer service, you're going to have last minute issues.
Right. And that is actually my favorite. I'm one of those crazy people that's like, yes, a change in the script, live entertainment. And I just get my, like, I just love that. But anyways, you know, the girls will arrive maybe about 3 to 3.5 hours before tip, and as well as any other entertainment group that's performing, so that we could get our rehearsal time on the court before guys start coming out to warm up and things like that. We do have pregame production meetings. That includes myself, our mascots, our DJs, all of our camera operators. So there's a lot that goes into play before our pregame even starts at, you know, 6 o'clock. So
wait, I need to know, does Clutch attend the meetings in costume or out of costume?
He attends in costume.
Actually though. Okay, cool. I was just kind of making a joke. That's incredible.
No, he does not. He does not. No,
oh,
but
man.
He attends, you know, he's so good at what he does. And what I enjoy about our team is like everybody down to a part-time camera operator to our part-time, you know, assistant DJ to our performers. Everyone takes our game so seriously and we're all just like grateful to be there. So, but yeah, those meetings are very helpful. And then once doors open, you know, we have meet and greets from our dancers, the Clutch City Dancers and Clutch the Bear. You know, occasionally we'll have our liftoff parties presented by Bud Light out on our launch pad. So our games are pretty busy. And once game time starts, you know, all of this, hours of rehearsals and planning goes by so quickly. So, but they're very fun games. We try to definitely, you know, gear everything towards our fans. We're very fan driven. I think our dance cams are one of our fan favorites. So we try to show our fans love for sure during our game time.
Definitely. Now we'll keep this conversation rolling along with Natalie Alvarado, Director of Entertainment for your Houston Rockets in just one moment. But first I have a quick word from our friends over at Built Bars. So I'm sure you guys may be wondering why I'm talking about Built Bar so much. Well, first off, they're actually really good. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Now look, they've got 16 amazing flavors. They've got 8 chocolate and nut flavors. They've got 8 chocolate and then nut-free flavors. And look, the bars, they're covered in 100% chocolate. You know, it's not like like a normal protein bar where it's gritty or grimy or chalky. No, it's none of that. This is a protein bar that actually tastes like a candy bar. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They're great for the health conscious guy. You can, you know, use them to lose weight or, you know, potentially maintain weight. And at the same time, you're basically eating like a little dessert. Like it's a delicious little treat. You know, for example, their peanut butter brownie bar, it's 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, just 3 grams of sugar, 3 grams of carbs. That's it. Now, my personal favorite, the double chocolate mousse, can't go wrong with it. You know, I eat it, you know, on the way to and from work or as a quick little meal replacement. But, you know, you can take part in this. All you got to do is go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your first order. So remember to use code LOCKEDON at builtbar.com for $10 off your first order. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, chatting with Natalie Alvarado, the director of entertainment for your Houston Rockets. So Natalie, we kind of just, you were walking us through those, you know, what game days kind of look like. Now, here's my question is, are playoff games any different? Now, obviously the intensity, you know, the weight behind playoff games is different for the players, but you know, on your end, do things kind of differ? Do you have, you know, a different regimen that you use during a playoff game versus a regular season game, or how does that work?
Definitely. Great question. It goes, you know, just a little earlier, I was talking about this planned out script we have. And of course, live entertainment, you'll go off of that sometimes. When playoffs come around, I just love our fans. I love the way the city feels. I love the way the arena feels inside. And one of the things we do is we definitely go off script. And that includes even going off script for, you know, a sponsored paid timeout. Like we will do anything to just keep our fans engaged. So we normally would go into a hot timeout, which is like, you know, a timeout that normally would hit in the fourth quarter during regular season. So that first timeout of the game, you know, especially if we're playing like a very solid team, our crowd is just like on their feet instantly. So whatever we had planned there, whether it was like a clutch skit or maybe an on-court activation, that'll get cut just so we can keep music going, send entertainers out, or clutch the bear with some signs, and it immediately starts hot like that in the first quarter. So playoffs, by far, is one of my favorite moments during season because it's just like that whole place is on fire. So yes, to answer your question, we definitely go more off script. You know, I think signs from our mascot, from Clutch, they work so well during playoffs. When it comes to the dancers, I have found out that our fans normally will not respond to a hard-hitting routine that we would do during regular season. They love when that timeout hits and our girls just run out and they dance to something like Whoop, There It Is. So those kinds of things, that traditional NBA high energy kind of feel, that works for us during playoffs inside a Toyota Center.
And so when it comes to, you know, those hot timeouts that you were talking about, is that your call to make? That do you just kind of do like a vibe check on the building? You're like, yeah, we got to do something, you know, we got to get something really going right here.
Yes. So we have our director of programming sits behind the table and calls the games. And I myself, along with his staff members, will kind of manage the tunnel and stage direct. So when it comes to the entertainment, such as Clutch and performers, that is my call. We'll work on it together. It's not solely just me because it's all, you know, it's a team of us that make this happen. But we're normally on the same page when it comes to, you know, should we do t-shirt toss now? Like these fans are crazy. Or should we push this timeout back? But when it comes to entertainment, it's definitely more so my call. And where I stand also, I get a good vibe of the audience and what they're feeling. Will they stand up in this moment or will they sit down after this moment? So, but we're pretty much all on the same page. We've called games together for a very long time, so it works well for us.
Speaking of going off script, you know, I'm going to go off script here for a moment, if that's okay. But, you know, is there have you noticed kind of a difference with some of like the, you know, I don't want to say the energy level of the fans in like the upper bowl versus the lower bowl, but is that something that you guys kind of take into account, you know, maybe some of the rowdier fans, you know, being in the upper section versus the lower bowl?
Yes, we definitely try to show, like I said earlier, all of our fans so much love. Look, every fan, no matter where they're sitting, is always going to want a t-shirt. That always works for us, or a giveaway. We do try to, you know, get up to the upper level if it is, you know, if we're giving some let's just say, as an example, Exxon gift cards away, you know, we'll send an entertainer up there and a wireless camera to at least give a row upstairs some love and some giveaways. We can't win them all. We can't please every fan. You know, there's 18,000 plus every game. So there definitely is a difference, though. And I can say that even, you know, from back in the days of me being a dancer and in my position that I'm in now. Your upstairs fans are always going to be the rowdier ones, right? In the lower bowl, you know, they're there to watch the basketball and to make their, this is my assumption, but it's more like business and corporate folks, and upstairs are your diehard fans, right?
Definitely. Yeah.
There's a difference. And, but what I always say is every seat is a good seat in that house. So.
Oh yeah, there's absolutely not a bad seat in Toyota Center. Right. I will say my personal favorite is I'm a sideline kind of view. I've only sat in zone a couple times, but just because I'm just the way that I'm used to watching games, whether it's TV or, you know, at the stadium, I prefer that sideline type of view. So not necessarily in zone being a bad seat, but just my personal preference. Now,
right.
You know, we were kind of talking about some of the rowdy fans. Do you guys ever do any do you guys ever work alongside the Red Rowdies and kind of get them involved in some stuff?
We absolutely do. We actually have an event coordinator, a senior event coordinator. You may know him, Chris Lloyd Templanuevo. He actually oversees that program of the Red Rowdies. So from conducting auditions and looking for the next rowdy fan, our events and presentation department handles all of that. So if there's anything from the marketing side, from my end, that we would love for the Rowdies to do at a game, either myself will get with the lead Rowdy or I'll go through Chris Lord to kind of say, hey, we have this idea. It's funny because we've tried to get them to do little row dancing, like aisle dancing and things like that, but they're just so rowdy and they're not dancers at all. So they do better at just making the noise, but we've tried to come up with some very cool visual ideas for them that people could see from sitting, you know, around the arena to their section, but they do such a great job. They definitely work well with our DJ when it comes to fan prompts and noise prompts, and they bang on their drums and all that good stuff. So whenever we need them, though, if we need something specific from them, we will definitely work with them on that.
And speaking of guys who, you know, bring the energy, bring, you know, that extra entertainment factor, I do have a couple questions about the greatest mascot in all of sports, Clutch the Bear, in just a moment. But first, I want to hit this quick break and give you guys a quick message from our friends over at Blinkist. All right, guys, let me tell you about one of the most important apps on my phone. Look, sometimes it's hard to find the time to sit down and, you know, read when you're busy, working a full-time job, going to school, whatever have you. And when you don't have the free time to read, you can't, you know, really work on your own personal development. But there's an incredible app that actually solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. So Blinkist is pretty unique. It works on your phone, tablet, web browser, whatever. It takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. I use Blinkist when I'm on the way to and from work or running errands, whatever I may be doing. Blinkist is the way that I access the information that I need to work on my own personal development. Now, with Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want to read, all for one low price. Now, right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/MBA, and you can try it for free for 7 days and save 25% on your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/MBA to start your free 7-day trial. And remember, you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/MBA. And we are back in here for our final segment at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Chatting with Natalie Alvarado, the entertainment director for your Houston Rockets. So Natalie, working with Clutch, you know, and all the different acts that you oversee, but with Clutch specifically, what are some of the favorite like stunts or acts that you've pulled with him over the years?
First, you introduced him, correct? The best mascot in the world.
Absolutely.
I'm such a fan. He is just such a talent, and he works extremely hard. And I think he's very easy to work with, and he's such a creative person. So I'm talking about the person who plays the character, obviously. I think one of my favorite things we did, I'm not sure if you saw it online because it went viral. So we did a dancer and entertainers and Clutch the Bear thriller routine for Halloween.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. That was so fun. And look, we did it because it's like, oh, we could do Thriller, like, you know, nothing to it. And the crowd loved it. It probably received one of our loudest responses from our fans. And then it went viral. So of course you try to like chase that. And it's like, oh my gosh, we need another Thriller, but it hasn't happened since. And that's okay. The other thing is for Star Wars night, I had this idea of using fish line on these. I know you've been to games. So he uses those kind of tall, blown up bowling air pins.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've seen them when he does like the human bowling,
yeah.
But they're really large pins. And so, but they're pretty light. They look heavy, but they're pretty light. So he rolled out as Darth Vader Clutch on a hoverboard. So it looked like he was floating down center court. And he put his arm out to pretend like he was using his force to knock the pins down. Meanwhile, we had like Rocket Man or Clutch Crew back there knocking the pins down using the fish line. But it looked really cool. And so just those are the kinds of ideas that just kind of pop up when we're together at the office. You know, it's just like, oh, what about this idea? And that's what makes this job so fun. It's not even a job. It's like this career so fun because you just get to work around a lot of creatives and this platform that the Houston Rockets give us to use our creativity and showcase our choreography and our skills and our talents. Like you get the two of us together the way that the Rockets do, and we can come up with all these great ideas without being told no or no, that won't work. Look, if our ideas don't work, then they don't work, but we don't get, it's not like we get in trouble for that or anything, you know? So it's just, we move on to the next great idea. But I think those are a couple of ideas. We also just recently did a dance tutorial on YouTube that the Rockets just posted yesterday. And so he's a great dancer as well. So that's one of the benefits of having a mascot who can do it all from gymnastics to dance, because we can utilize him in so many different ways. And he loves it. So he is the best mascot.
Absolutely. I don't think you'll find any argument from me on that front. First off, the fishing line for the force, genius. And then second, you know, so, and obviously everybody, you know, everybody loves Clutch, and Clutch is huge and you know, iconic, but what are some of your favorite acts that you've had from some of the other crews? You know, like there's Little Dippers, Space City Seniors. I mean, there's so many different teams out there that you know, you oversee.
Right. I think they don't get a lot, like too much love that they deserve. Our Sonic Boom drumline, they're maybe 5 years old now. And I'm all about our fans. I'm all about like the interaction, the up close engagement. One of the things that they do, we've tried to have them perform in arena, and it just doesn't carry over so well with like the sound quality and things of that nature. But I think what they do that is so well for our fans and for our arena is they're outside pregame, they're around the concourse during halftime, and when we win, they're postgame at the Jackson Street exit. So they're moving around the arena within a game and, you know, working very closely or performing very closely for our fans, you know, so kids can come up and bang on their drums, and they have a lot of energy, and they're just really cool guys, and they're fans too. So they love the Rockets and they love our fans. So I think a group like that, you know, I'm always trying to figure out ways to utilize them, but I know that their strong points are like just up close and personal with our fans. Our launch crew, our break dancers, they're also a group that I enjoy working with tremendously because of their talent. They're a lot different from the dancers, who are very disciplined and we have to all move the same and be so in sync and every move has to be together. Whereas the break dancers, any choreography we do together, it can be a little spiced up and made differently because they can all flip off of each other's bodies or do some kind of crazy trick. And I'm very proud of all of our entertainment, because in each and every group down to the Space City Seniors, we have so many accomplished individuals. And I always make sure to tell my talent, like, we're so lucky to have y'all. We have one breakdancer who has toured the world, and he always comes back to us. But he's won competitions in the UK and in Japan, and I mean everywhere. He just won a virtual breakdance competition and made it all the way to the World Series. So he's, you know, the talent that we have on these teams I wish, you know, it is my job for people and fans to get to know them a little better and kind of like more behind the scenes footage on all these individuals. But the Rockets are very fortunate. Like, we have some of the best talent in all of Texas. So it makes my job a lot easier and so much more fun because I get to work with these talented individuals.
Well, and they keep coming back because they've obviously got some good management overhead. So,
you might be right.
I think based on, you know, what we've spoken about so far, I can definitely see why they keep coming back. But, so kind of keeping this thing rolling along. Now, you mentioned earlier, you know, that you are in charge of, you know, also booking, you know, some of the halftime performances and stuff like that. So if you had to pick some of the best performances that you've, you know, had your hand in over the years, who would you pick and why?
So I've come across so many different talents. We didn't book very much this past season, but, you know, my boss and I, we always try to keep in touch with, the talent that's from like America's Got Talent or any kind of singing competition. So we've luckily have booked like a lot of locals who have succeeded in those kinds of competitions, or, you know, we've had the benefit of booking some high profile Latin artists for Noche Latina. But I think one of my favorites recently, because I still follow her on Instagram and she has just blown up since I booked her. There's a young girl by the name of DJ Livia, cute little girl out of LA. And I booked her for Kids Night last season for Kids Night. And she is a legit DJ. I think what I liked about her is obviously her family was very involved and, you know, we took care of them and they were so prepared for her performance. But to be 11 years old and entertain 18,000 people and you're mixing live, I was so impressed by that. And since then, you know, we still keep in touch with each other. She's become kind of like the celebrity's DJ. So she's booked, birthday parties for North Kardashian or Northwest.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She's opened up for Nickelodeon with DJ Khaled. And she's still the most down-to-earth, cutest little girl. I'm all about like the future talent and some positivity for other younger kids to see. And I think she's a great example of someone who performed at a halftime for 5 minutes and then went on to perform on, you know, the Nickelodeon stage with DJ Khaled. And if you follow her on Instagram, she went live with, I think, P. Diddy, and she went live with all of these other, because obviously during this time, everybody's doing the live.
Yeah, Instagram Live has completely blown up.
Right. And so it's great to see her, continuing to be so successful as a DJ at that. So she's probably one of my favorites. She was the cutest little girl and we definitely connected.
Awesome. Now, you know, I'm definitely going to have to go check her out as soon as we're done recording this podcast. But now a bit more of a personal question. Now, given the opportunity to book any three artists that you could for, you know, your own, you know, hypothetical, you know, imagination concert, which three artists would you pick? I'm putting you on the spot.
Okay, no, I'm prepared. I'd have to say Travis Scott, representing Houston.
There we go.
Amazing. He is like a walking energy drink. Like, I just want to walk next to him all day and just, he would keep you energized. And his performance level is fantastic. And obviously our fans love him. I would definitely book Kendrick Lamar and I would book Kanye West. Those would be the list. Yeah.
All right. There we go. I approve of the list. I am going to say I'm a little shocked there's no Beyonce in there. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there, get a little bit more. I was expecting two Houston picks, but I'm not upset with the list.
Yeah, I love some Beyonce. Maybe I would book her for National Anthem, but as far as like the halftime performance, I would definitely say I'm more these days about that high energy, just like crazy, or in the words of Travis Scott, like the raging kind of thing, you know?
Okay, so, I can feel that.
Yeah, and Beyonce is very smooth. So let's book Beyonce for National Anthem and then have like Travis Scott for halftime.
There we go. That's a solid lineup right there. Now, last question before we get you out of here. For anybody that would be interested in getting involved in any one of the, you know, teams or squads that you oversee, you know, how would they go about doing that?
Great question. So normally around audition season, which is always during the summer at this point, you know, obviously we're not sure of when auditions will be. They'll be pushed back to a later date, but we'll put everything on rockets.com. We actually have an entertainers tab and we've been working on it for a while, but it should be, you should be, it's easy to find. We'll normally put everything on there from, you know, the applications to the requirements, the things we look for. So if anyone's interested, all the age requirements are on there as well. You can always go to rockets.com to our entertainers page, Rockets Entertainment. And you can find any info there on auditions, like on the audition process for all those groups.
Awesome. And I lied. I'm going to ask you one more question. What advice would you give to somebody who does want to, you know, make it as a professional entertainer?
First, believe in yourself, right? Like you're only going to be as great as you are if you believe that, right? You're only as good as you think you are. I think be aware and realistic that there's a lot of competition out there, but the one thing that you have to remind yourself of is like no one's better than you. So I think a lot of times, especially when it comes to the dancers, women think we're looking for a particular look or, you know, a certain height requirement. And we don't. Just come out and show your talent, be true to yourself, because your true light is going to shine, you know? So even down to the kids, I think a lot of people, they watch the Little Dipper perform and they may think, oh, my kid doesn't have this dance experience. And it's in one of the requirements. Dance experience is not required. Just come and try it out. And especially because I've been in their shoes, I know how nerve-wracking it is to audition. And so I always believe in the underdog. I always can look at someone and go, wow, like I can't wait to coach this person, or they have so much potential. So believe in yourself, you know, be dedicated and committed to your craft, and it'll work for you and you'll win that way.
That is some wonderful advice right there. Now, Natalie, thank you so much for joining us today. Now, as always, what I usually like to do as we're wrapping up the show is give you an opportunity to plug, you know, any of your social media or where we can find your content at. So if you want to go ahead and do that for us.
Yes. Let's follow the Clutch City Dancers on Instagram and on Facebook. So you can find them at Clutch City Dancers. I'll go ahead and plug the mascot as well. The Rockets Clutch the Bear on Instagram and Facebook. And then my personal page is OG Nat Boogie on Instagram. I'm not very active to social media, but you guys can find me there.
All right. Again, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. And that's going to do it for today's episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed our chat with Natalie Alvarado, Director of Entertainment for the Houston Rockets. As always, thank you all so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back here very soon at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.